The wise shall inherit glory. Proverbs 3:31-35. The wise in the sight of God is also known in our text as the righteous in verse 32. And he is also called the just man in verse 33. And in verse 34, he is described as the lowly. And such a man, we are told in verse 35, received the full weight of God's blessings and grace. And our text tells us, be such a man. Solomon says, be such a person that the Lord had meant you to be. The righteous one, the just one, the lowly one, the one who would be bestowed God's blessings and grace. Then he contrasted the wise man with the oppressor in verse 31. The froward, or the word means rebellious, in verse 32. And in verse 33, the wicked, the one who would put harm in others' way, verse 33. And the scorner, the one who sneers, who derides, who mock at God, verse 34. And the fool, in verse 35, one whose senses is so dulled by sin that it finds no strength in the things of God. No strength to walk with God. To this man, Solomon tells us, is reserved shame, for sin causes shame. The fool refuses the knowledge of God. He insists going his way. Are we not like that? The Apostle Paul was such a man until God arrested him on the road to Damascus and turned him around. Remember, he was persecuting Christians, put harm in the way of God's people, and he thought that he was doing the right thing. The Bible described his conversion very dramatically, and the Bible wrote of Ananias' testimony. The Lord said to Ananias, go and see this man, and how do you identify him? Behold, he prays. This man was blinded by the Lord. God stopped him. Blinded. What does it mean to be blind? It means that we lose the sight of everything. And to lose the sight, it's dramatic. Imagine we all are able to see with our eyes, some quite well, some not so well. You need a pair of spectacles. Some, you need a pair of spectacles to look far and to look near. Nevertheless, all of us are able to see. But the Apostle Paul was arrested with a debilitating blindness that caused him to think. What struck him? God came to him to catch his attention. And God caught his attention. Christ appeared by a bright light to him. And this man was turned around, totally consecrated to his master, totally given over, totally surrendered. He said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, I'm dead already because I was with Christ upon the cross. I was crucified like him. And a man who is crucified upon the cross cannot last too long. Right? You'll be hanging there on the cross, losing blood, losing water. And before long, the man is dead. So Paul is saying here that he was crucified, that body of sin is crucified. He has dealt sin a death blow in his life. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead to the old life, and yet I live. He says that this life that he has was not the old life. That old life was crucified with Christ. But this new life that God has given to him, he says, that I live by the Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I live now, or I now live in the flesh. Well, he's still in the body. All his senses are still awakened. He still could feel his way around, that he could not see. Well, the Lord restored his sight later on. God was merciful to him. And he knew that he received mercy from God. He knew that his life was borrowed. God has given him back his life. And he was a changed man. And he says that, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by what Jesus Christ instructed me to live, and who loved me and gave himself for me. So, what is this life of the Christian? A life that is crucified. The flesh is nailed, killed. And how did we come to that position of sanctification before God? Well, Paul said in Ephesians 1:13, he says, in whom also ye trusted, after ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you take hold of the gospel, when you trust in the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and that you believed, the seal of your faith, if it's genuine, if it's real, is the coming of the Spirit of God into your heart. Christ himself will dwell in you by his Spirit. And in the book of Colossians, he wrote, right, these are all the prison epistles. Paul writing when he was a prisoner, when he was in chains. Life was tough. And he wrote, he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ in you. You have the hope of a glory to come. Death has lost its sting. You are going to experience the resurrection in the last day. You are going to receive the rewards that God would give to you. And you would be there in heaven, the place where there is no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. And the Lord tells us that we are on that journey. And you want to arrive there well and good. And so he says two thoughts. Choose God's way. Choose God's way. He wants us to walk the way of the wise. the way of the just, the way of the righteous, he tells us, the way of the lowly. This is the way he wants us to walk. And the second thought, receive God's blessing and grace. Receive God's blessing and grace. Choose God's way and receive God's blessing and grace. And these two thoughts, we are going to run it parallel through the passage. Often in the passages, in the verses, you would see, right, the first part giving to us the negative, and the second part, the blessing. And we want to help us to see the contrast. And then the Lord wants us to choose the way of life, to choose the way of blessing. And so in verse 31, he says, envy thou not the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. Who is the oppressor? Well, Solomon wrote these words. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1, he tells us, so I return, Solomon says, and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed. This is a very cruel world, Solomon showed us. And we all can see. And he says, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the sight of their oppressor, there was power. But they had no comforter. Men using power, using violence, using might to get their way. Man's history is a sad record of violence, hatred, and oppression among men. The strong man bullying the weak man. Might is right, is the rule of the jungle of human civilization. The law of the fallen man is to squeeze his fellow men to reap personal benefit. Does it not sound familiar? If you can squeeze the other person, well, squeeze him hard so that you can have your personal benefit. The law of the fallen man. Not so nice, right? This led to untold sorrows and tears in human history. God's law, on the other hand, protects the weak. The law in Israel protects the widow, protects the orphan, protects the weak, protects the animals. Even the stray animals, there are those who often have no means of personal support and vulnerable to be preyed by wicked men. And so if you analyze human situation, the world political situation, you'd realize that it is quite worrying, isn't it? It tells us the problem that is plaguing men. The problem that is within him that he cannot solve. The problem of the heart. What is wrong with the human heart? I submit to you that it is the problem of sin. A problem called sin. A nature that man has inherited when the first man, Adam, departed from obeying God. The God who made him, the God who placed him in a paradise, and he gave it all to the devil, to Satan, the man who leaves his creator often becomes a beast. This is what Solomon is describing for us. Solomon turns his attention to human oppression. He says he wants us to see the hopeless state of man without God, under oppression. Tears of the oppressed. And Solomon speaks of the cruelty of men against their fellow men. It seems that one who practices that can have some semblance of confidence and prosperity by these actions. But the caution is given. Solomon says, don't go that way. Don't go that way. The dictionary meaning of that word means something that would weigh down a person in physical and mental distress, causing the oppressed to be weeping and mourning. When a nation rules by law, punish the wicked, there is peace in the land. But when the law is spurned and not enforced, we see how oppression and sorrow comes to its citizens. So Solomon is telling us here in the Proverbs, in just one verse, is describing for us the world out there. This is the reality. Do not think that when you begin work, you are going out there, well, to a jungle. And you have to be careful. It's not a paradise. And Solomon grieved to see might prevail against right. And whenever we turn, well, we see this situation. Not so happy. No good. Our senses tells us that shouldn't be the way. And we can observe that shouldn't be our way of life. And so Solomon is telling us that there is a better way. God teaches us a better way. For the froward, verse 32, he says, the rebellious is hated of the Lord, is abomination to the Lord. The Lord hates the sin, the rebellious nature of this. But his secret is with the righteous. What is his secret? Well, that's the word that means his counsel, his wisdom. If you would be obedient to God, his wisdom abides with you. If you choose to walk with him. And so here, the righteous seeks to be obedient, while the froward, well, seek to stray away from God. And, you know, the way of God's people is not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. And so the people of God, going through the jungles of life, what do? Well, Paul says in Philippians 4:6, that's the theme of our church camp. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is another way to live life. In other words, that the Lord wants you to live. He doesn't want you to carry your burden, so much so that that burden would weigh you down. But He tells you that He has given to you a burden bearer, someone who would carry your burden, someone that would help you so that you would not be anxious as you go through life. You not be worried. You not be jittery. But He tells you that there is a way out. In everything, by prayer and supplication. Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Those who claim to be wise in the things of this world are fools before God. The truly wise, the Lord says, would come to Him. And you see, the business of life with God is very different. Life with Christ, the way in which problems are solved, very different. God provides you a way. And as we lean upon God, but there is a way out of life. And so, He says His secret. Oh, there's a way out of the trials of life. There's a way out of the oppressions of life. His secret or His counsel is with the righteous. That means God will, by His mysterious workings of His power, make a way out for you, for life. And so, Jesus says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and unto the and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You see, God abiding in us. God is invisible. The counsel of the Lord that comes with you through His Spirit, through His Word, is secret. God showed you the way. God showed Daniel what the future of Israel will be. God showed you the things that the world cannot see. The resurrected Christ was only seen by the disciples. All who love the Lord manifests Himself to them. The Lord gives to you His Spirit. If you would pray and seek the Lord, there is a way out. Do you make for yourself a prayer list? Do you write your prayer items? And do you take time to seek the Lord? The Lord tells us that His secret is with the righteous. Who is the righteous? Well, the righteous are those who have faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. And the Lord's wisdom comes upon this. And they have that propensity to love God, to obey Him, to keep His commandments, to honor His day, to do His will. And so, His people receive His blessings. One of them you see in verse 32. His secret, His counsel is with the righteous. You find the way out of your problem, God's way. Heavenly wisdom. If you have it, you find it. That's the best. And verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But He blesses the habitation of the just. When Israel departed from keeping God's laws, they suffered the curses of God for their waywardness. Do you know what happened? Before they were deported out of Babylon for 70 years, well, they did not let the land rest every seventh year. The Lord told them, 6 years you would till your ground. On the seventh year, you would not till your ground. And so you would have to trust the Lord to provide for you on your sixth year, to cover you, to see you through the seventh year, and also the eighth year, when you begin planting your crop again. And during that seventh year, well, you allow the others to glean, the poor to glean, the animals to glean in your field. Right? The Lord says that this was what Israel neglected to do. Now, can you understand why they neglected it? Well, they wanted that seventh year gain. They wanted that seventh year gain. And they forgot the commandment of God. And what happened to Israel? Well, they were deported for 70 years to Babylon. Jeremiah 29 verse 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to the place." And 2 Chronicles 36 verse 21, "To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. You see, on the sixth year, when you know that you're not supposed to plant your crop, what will you do? Well, you'll pray. Seek the Lord, right? If the Lord doesn't bless, that's it. God's law enables us to put our faith and trust not in ourselves, in our own strength, but in Him. But if we do not practice and do the will of God, the good laws that God would give to us, then what happened? We lose our blessings. Then the cursings come to our habitation. Remember, God said to them that they will go into the house, they will go to a land that was filled with milk and honey. Right? When God parted the River Jordan to cause them to walk on dry land across, the priest led them by the Ark of the Covenant. Right? The waters parted. And they walked on dry land, and the manna stopped when they were able to eat the old corn of the land. How God blessed them from that day onwards. A land filled with milk and honey. God blessed them richly, but they have forgotten the God who had blessed them. They had forgotten the God who had endowed them with so much. They went about living their lives their own way, doing their own things, for neglecting to serve the Lord their God. And Malachi 2:2 says, if ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse unto you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. And Malachi 2:11, the Lord says, Judah had dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah had profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. If you are not putting God first in your life, if you are going after other gods that is in your heart, that is committing adultery, spiritual adultery. If God is not first in your life, and he has departed from you, or he's departed from your first thoughts, then be careful. Be careful. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, 24 to 28. Deuteronomy 29, 24 to 28. That was before they went into the land. God told them that he would bless them. And God told them that he would also take away those blessings. And that you would also see the curses of God, and the people would know the reason why Israel is not blessed of God, because they have departed from their God. Verse 24. Of Deuteronomy 29. Shall we read together? Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them, when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods, and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. So how frightening it is, you see, when we choose not to honor the Lord, not to honor his day, not to honor him. Surely he scorneth, verse 34, the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. Surely he scorneth the scorners. There is that rebellious streak that is within us to mock, to scorn against God and his word. Sometimes, unwittingly, Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, this was his last words as an apostle. Remember, he lived a very full life with Christ, 3.5 years. Well, he went through the ups and the downs as a disciple. And he wrote, he says, in 2 Peter 3, beloved, I write unto you to stir your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of the Lord the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What Peter is saying to us is that a day of judgment, a day of reckoning is coming. Don't sit too comfortably thinking that you can go on building the castles on this land, in this life. No. The Lord tells us. You remember the story of the flood? For years, the warning was given. For years, the people scorned. The people deride. The people mock. Why do we preach concerning the second coming of Christ? Why do we preach concerning the Lord's judgment that is going to come upon this earth? And all who do not know him is going to face a time of great reckoning, a time of great tribulation that this world will never experience. The Lord wants us to know that this world is not our home, and the Lord wants us to be living circumspectly this life. He wants us to set our affections on things above. The things that can last for eternity. What are these things? You know well how you can invest for eternity. How you can do well with your time for eternity. With your resources for eternity. You know well, but what are you doing? The Lord says, sadly, Christians are often too captivated by the things around them. And we are apt to be affected by the things on earth. And the Lord tells us, be careful. He's not saying that, you know, you cannot enjoy the good things of this life. But he's saying that put your priority on the things of God. Build for yourself treasures that can last for eternity. Surely he scorneth the scorners. Well, you reject God and his word and you mock at it and refuse to follow and obey. A time of reckoning is coming. But he giveth grace unto the lowly. Those who would be willing to mourn for their sins. Those who know their own spiritual bankruptcy. The poor in spirit, God wants such a heart from you. And such a heart God will bless. Remember, Jesus came and his first words were blessings. He uttered so many blessings when he came and he preached. Remember the last word of the Old Testament? What is the last word of the Old Testament? The word cursed. Cursed. But when Christ came, what did he pronounce? Blessed.
Multiples of blessing. Makarioi. Multiples of blessing. You receive that blessing when you receive Christ and His ways in your life. That's the wise. That's the righteous. That's the just. He doesn't want us to be the fool. He doesn't want us to be the scorner. He doesn't want us to be the wicked. He doesn't want us to be the oppressor. He doesn't want us to be rejecting His goodwill for our lives. May the Lord be merciful. He tells us that the wise shall inherit glory. The wise shall inherit glory. What is this glory? Turn with me to Daniel chapter 12 as we close. Daniel chapter 12. And verse 2 to 3. Daniel chapter 12. And verse 2 to 3. Shall we read? And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that would be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. God has a will, has a way for you. Can we see the picture? The last picture? The slide? Can we see the slide? Can we see the slide, please? Here is a picture painted for us of what will happen in the last days. Matthew chapter 25. The Lord will come, and He shall be the judge. And He tells us that there will be those who will be assessed for what they do to life eternal or to everlasting fire. And what is the evidence of true faith? There are those with no evidence of true faith. The evidence of true faith, the presence of spiritual fruit in their life. Christ said, any who is hungry, any who is thirsty, any who is a stranger, any who is naked, any who is sick, any who is in prison, help those, the Lord says. And there would be those who would be cast into the everlasting fire. A time of judgment is coming. The Lord is saying to us that what you do, how you live, matters for eternity. And the Lord wants you to do the right thing. Those things that would bring blessing, eternal blessing to your life. And the Lord tells us, let's do those things. The judgment will come. The Lord will judge. What is the first criteria? Well, the first thing is that we must be sure that we are in Christ Jesus. You must be sure that you are a child of God. You must be sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. That your sins have been forgiven. And the Spirit of God rests in you. The absent in the body is present with the Lord. And then the Lord says to you, do these things. Love my commandments. Do the things that you ought to do. Love me and love the others as yourself. This you do, and God's blessing will come upon you. And He tells us that there is the other way. Not so good. Way of judgment. Time of reckoning. And you do not know how soon this reckoning would come. May God be gracious to help us, that we may make right with Him now. Make right with Him today. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Lord, may Thou be gracious to strengthen us. Keep us by Thy grace. Prosper us by Thy mercy as we lean upon Thee, come to Thee with contrition of heart, confessing our sins. May Thou be gracious to forgive us. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.